Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And I am just so glad that you have joined me on today, and I am just looking for the Lord to bless us in a mighty and a special way. So I encourage you to grab your Bibles on today and come on in and make yourself right at home. We have another glorious lesson for you on today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you, yes, you and you are going to be tremendously blessed. I want to take a moment to welcome all of my glorious friends from around the world, and I want you to know that I am excited about you on today and what God is doing in and through your life. I know that God is going to greatly bless you and move in a mighty and a special way in and through your life. Now, as I was praying, asking God and seeking the heart of God is what he would like for me to say on today or teach about. God laid it in my heart through the Holy Spirit to talk to us again about a lesson perhaps that I have spoken on not too long ago, but he wants to bring back to our remembrance about his holiness. And another aspect of his attributes is his holiness. Now, we're going to be talking about that on today and looking deeply into the attributes of God on today. And so I want you to bear in mind and to go with us. We're going to look at several passages of scriptures on today in regards about the holiness of God. Now, first of all, we want to look at, before we get right into that lesson right now, we want to look at a few aspects about the attributes of God. Now, we know God is a spirit. We know that he is the one and true God. We know him as another attribute, as the eternal God, as well as God is love. We recognize that another aspect of the attributes of God is God, he is our Father, he is available, God is faithful, and God is long-suffering, and as well as God is our refuge, and God is a jealous God. And we also know about his omniscience as well as omnipresent, and that he is an all-knowing God, and an all-present God, and all-powerful God. And we look at these particular aspects about God, and sometimes we begin to focus in on maybe just one aspect of God is love. But God is wanting us to look at the totality of who he is and not just one aspect, even though he is a God of love. And yes, he is a spirit, but I also want the people to know, even in the time in which we're living in, that he is still yet a holy God, and he is looking for his people to be holy even as he is holy. Now, I'm going to invite you to look at some scriptures with us as we walk through this lesson, and I want you to take and write these scriptures down so that you can read it in your hearing as well. Now, one of the things that I like to just share a personal testament before we get really into the lesson is in regards to about one of my great leaders who I first given my life unto the Lord up under the great and the late Bishop P.L. Scott there in St. Louis, Missouri. He was the pastor and the founder of Lively Stone Church of God there in St. Louis, Missouri. And he often said something that I thought was so profound, even when I began to meditate on it. He said, "Don't take my word, but you go back to God and see whether I'm telling you the truth." And I thought that that was such a profound thing. And that's why I take and use my scripture reference that is very key to my lessons, because I want you to go back to the Word of God with the scripture reference so that you can even look at it for yourself and follow in or know what the Word of the Lord has to say about the lessons I teach. And so here I want us to look at, we're going to look at several of them. So I want you to write these down. Number one, Leviticus chapter number 10, verse number 10. Also, Leviticus, and you can just abbreviate that by writing L-E-V, and that's chapter 19, verses 1 through verse number 2. And then Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses number 6. We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter number 1, verses 14 through 16. And then we're going to look at Romans chapter number 12, verses number 1. And finally, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter number 12, verses 14. And as we read each one of these, I will again let you know where you can find these. And so here, let's take a look at the first one. It's going to be at Leviticus chapter number 10, verses number 10. And it reads on this line, "And that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean." Leviticus chapter number 19, verses 1 and 2. It said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse 6. "Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him." 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. "As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." Romans chapter 12, verses 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now, so here we see, and there's one more scripture that's over in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Let me read that first. "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Now, let us take a moment. Now, we both looked at the holiness and from the scripture, the Hebrew scripture or the scriptures in the Old Testament, as well as the scriptures in the Christian scriptures or the New Testament. So we looked at both of the scripture reference when it talks about and looking at holiness. Now let's take a look here. Sin has separated people from God, for he is holy. And it is through the new birth, however, a person is filled with the Holy Ghost and given a spiritual relationship with God. And only by this new birth experience may people become holy in spirit as well as in their behavior. And not only in their behavior, but even when they go to put things on, their mind and their spiritual consciousness is become awakened to the holiness of God, that we will not offend God in words or our deed, or even in that which we put on our own bodies, because we want to bring glory and honor unto the Lord our God. Now, let us look further into the scriptures as we look at our lesson today. Now, several years ago, a man received an invitation to the President of the United States, who was at the president at that time was Ronald Reagan. Since then, only a limited number of invitation, he rightfully considered it as a rare honor. Because he could enter into the White House, though, he had to meet certain requirements. First, he had to receive a personal invitation. Second, he had to have a political party affiliation. And thirdly, he had to be properly attired. And finally, he had to submit himself to an examination by security guard. Now, we may not all be invited into the presence of governmental officials or leaders, but we all then have given an invitation into the presence of the King of Kings. Because God is holy, however, there are certain requirements that we must meet. We must receive a personal invitation. John 6:44 states, "No man can come to me except the Father draw him." Number two, we must be born again. It said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." John 3:5. The new birth experience initiates inner holiness. Sin are remitted. The person is regenerated and the Holy Ghost come into their life. And that's coupled with the baptism in the name of Jesus. We must submit our lives in obedience to God. We must not pursue worldly activities in the manner that is central, and even our dress, manner of our clothing. We must live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Titus 2:1-12. Our action and our motives must pass an examination. And we can see that over in 1 Corinthians 3:13-7. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God clothed them in skins of two sacrificial animals. Their man-made fig leaf apron did not satisfy God's requirement to atone for and to cover their sinful deeds. In much the same way, our idea of self-righteousness does not satisfy God. We must be clothed in the beauty of his holiness. God is holy, and mankind can be holy only through him. Now, that's key for us to understand and to grasp. Our holiness comes not of our own selves, because our own righteousness can never, ever allow us to go into the presence of a holy God. It is only in and through the righteousness of our God. Now, I want us to take a look here a little closer into the scripture so that we can have a greater understanding, because it's key for us to understand more about the holiness of God and his righteousness, because many times, again, as I stated in the opening, we focus a lot of time on God's love and his faithfulness. But there's another aspect that God wants us to keep in the forefront of our mind, and that's his holiness. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:13 states, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's works of what sort it is. If any man's works abide which he has built thereon upon, he shall receive a reward. Now, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Here it is, child of God. "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." So again, we're talking about the holiness of God, and that even our temples are to be holy unto the Lord our God. Now let's look for closely and further. God is holy. Now the holy nature of God, it is hard for us to imagine that the holy dwelling place of God, God's whose very nature is holy, according to 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 16, does not tolerate sin in his presence. Now, we must recognize further that 1 Timothy verses 6 through 15 through 16 mentioned that the holy dwelling place of God as being that of the only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only have immortality, dwelleth in the light which no man can approach, unto whom no man hath seen nor seen. God will not allow sinful humanity to violate his holy domain. Yet it is amazing that he cares for and communicate with mankind, offering a way for sinners to cleanse of their sin and to be made holy by his spirit. When God saw iniquity in Lucifer, one of the highest angels, and you can see that over in Ezekiel 28, verse 15, he cast him out of heaven, verse 17, along with one third of the angels who had joined him in his rebellion, Revelation 12, verses 4 and 9. If God would not tolerate iniquity in his angels who were created as holy beings, why should he allow sinful people who were made a little lower than the angels, and you'll read that over in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 7, to dwell with him without being cleansed from their sins and being regenerated by his Holy Spirit? And so it is key for us to be born again of water and of spirit. Now let's look at meeting God's demand. There are numerous biblical examples of God demanding holiness in his presence. Let's take a look at these. One, God walked and communed with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3 and 8, until they committed sin. When they sinned, God dealt with their act of sin. He drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden a cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way. You'll find that over in Genesis 3 and 24. Also, in the ignorance, Moses attempted to approach the burning bush, not realizing God was in it. God called unto him and said unto him, "Draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy ground." Exodus 3, verses 4 through 5. Now, God demanded for holiness in his people was amplified in the tabernacle plan. God told Moses, "And let them make me a sanctuary, and I may dwell among them." Exodus chapter 25 to verse number 8. Now, the redemptive type of the tabernacle made it possible for God to dwell among humanity. But God expressed certain requirements when he gave Moses the plan for the tabernacle. First, there had to be a fence barring all who were not involved in service of the tabernacle from entering into the compound. Now, when you look at pictures of the tabernacle, you will see a white fence made of linen all around the tabernacle. And even as God instructed Moses, as the Levites would take and put up and take down the tabernacle as they journeyed through the wilderness, or when God would tell them the journey, they will always put that fence up. But what it did is separated them. It kept them from entering in to that place. Next, the priest had to go through three steps to get inside the structure. The priest had to offer an animal sacrifice at the brazen altar. He had to wash himself at the brazen laver, and he had to be anointed with oil. Only when these steps were completed could he enter the holy place and minister. Now, under the tabernacle plan, the common man could not come close to God. He could only view him from a distance. Since the death of Jesus on the cross, and since the day of Pentecost, however, he had made it possible for all people to approach him by faith and repentance, water baptism, and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Through Jesus Christ, we can be partakers of his holiness. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. And we thank God that we can approach him through the plan of salvation that he has made for we, his people, to enter into his presence. Now, let's look further, because not only is God is holy, but we are partakers of his holiness. Oh, child of God, I want you to see the depth of that. Because he wants his people to know that we are partakers of his holiness. Now let's look a little further. How could sinful man ever get to God? For his sin has completely separated him. In his sinful condition, he wandered away and unable in himself to atone for his sin and restore his relationship to God. Now God dwells in his glory